Hallelujah. Praise God. We want to welcome our dear sister here. We pray that this service would be a blessing to you. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. And John chapter 11. Oh, what a visitation of the power of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And again the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. John chapter 11 and verse 23. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow after me. Where I am, there shall also my servants be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now my soul troubleth. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." By the grace of God today, I want to preach about the root of power. The root of power. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your divine visitation today. We thank you for the outpour of your Spirit in our midst today, in our hearts today, in our souls today. We've come, God, to bring glory and honor to your majestic and perfect and wonderful name today. And we pray, God, that by your grace that you would minister to us strengthen us and undergird us. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. The root of power. The scriptures tell us that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power. Hallelujah. You receive power. Well, I guess the biggest question is that since so many people have received the power of the Holy Ghost, or the promise of the power of the Holy Ghost, how come we don't see a lot of power? It's a good question, right? How come we don't see the fullness of the power of God? When Jesus walked the face of this earth, God himself, enrobed in flesh, he exemplified in every possible way the full power of heaven. He exemplified in every way. He showed forth with signs and wonders and miracles. He rebuked storms. He raised people from the dead. He died on Calvary's cross, and he sent back the power on high, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He sent it back. And he sent it back as a gift. To give it to mankind. That mankind might have the option to utilize the Spirit of God on earth. Not only that, he sent it back as a reconciliator. Because that reconciliation and the power of that reconciliation draws people to God. It all depends on the condition of a man's heart. It depends on the conditions of a man's heart. And as that man's heart meets the conditions of God, then the Spirit of God can draw him, save him, revolutionize his life, change his life, empower him in ways that he's never been empowered before. The object of God was to empower us over the enemy of our soul. Am I right? I guess sometimes we have to. I think the problem with it sometimes in the church, and I think it's sometimes a great problem with people, is that we can acknowledge that we believe that there is a God. But sometimes we don't acknowledge within ourselves the full potential of the powers of darkness. We stand in the midst of a spiritual battle. It is as real as the nose on your face. So if you can't identify with anything else, all you have to do is go to the mirror and you'll see your nose. everyone. I don't believe there's not one family in here or one individual in here that is not going through something. That in their own human makeup, they can handle. Everyone is affected. But you know how we are. We all want to win the battle. Whatever the battle might be. Well, sometimes we wonder, do we have enough power? Do we trust God enough? Sometimes we wonder in the midst of our situations if God has enough power. It's amazing the tricks that the flesh can play on us. Huh? Isn't it amazing the tricks that the flesh can play? You don't even need the devil. All you need is the flesh will do enough. It'll play all kind of tricks on your mind. And the devil will come and echo that. Because he doesn't want the church to exemplify its power on earth. These days are designed to be difficult because they are the last days. Not only because God is attempting to get the judgment of humanity, or getting the attention of humanity. I'm sorry. To get the attention of humanity. But also, it's a difficult time because the devil knows that his time is running out. So his main objective is to destroy anything that's connected to God. He never liked humanity anyway. He never cared for humanity. Why would he get upset with humanity? You know why the devil got upset with humanity? He got upset with Adam because God made Adam a king. That's why he was upset. He gave him all power and all dominion over the earth. And the devil was standing there saying, well, where is my place of dominion? Where is my power? And so he sought out from that very moment to destroy humanity. So he has no love for us. Whether we're in the church or in the world, he has no love for the world. And so he pours upon the world this, I guess it should be a covering of deception. A covering of deception. Every time the world attempts to peel back and to come against the obscurity of darkness, the devil pours something else, or he creates something else, or he works to develop things to keep men in a state of confusion. And of course, naturally, we have to admit sometimes we're pretty confused. I am. Only because I'm human. Then, you know, I was thinking about Jesus and when he began his ministry in Matthew chapter 4. You know, the Lord will never test, or I should say, the Lord will never tempt man with sin. But the Spirit will lead us to places to be tested. Now, you think about it. The Spirit of God led Jesus up to have a confrontation with Satan. If we would think that the Spirit of God would lead you to have a confrontation with Satan, I want you to put yourself in that position. Because you know what? That's where some of us are right now. We're directly in a confrontation with Satan. The Spirit of God has led us there. But remember, the Spirit of God does not lead you to be defeated. He didn't lead Jesus. The Holy Ghost did not lead Jesus in the midst of his flesh into the realm of the devil to be defeated. Even though Jesus was in an awkward position. He had just fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was in the full potential of the weakness of the flesh. Shows you the power of God. The flesh was totally weakened. Could any of us imagine fasting for 40 days and 40 nights? Not only that, is how did we get up into the mountain? The Spirit of God led him up into a mountain to be tempted of the devil. And he's been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. My goodness. Hallelujah. If that is not the power of God. And so here is Jesus climbing this exceedingly high mountain to meet the enemy. And when the enemy comes, the enemy probably looks at him and thinks, this is not much to deal with. That's how he looks at you. I mean, my goodness, this guy's been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. He should be a pushover by now. Huh? He should be easy to deal with. And then he, of course, he brings forth it. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. He didn't tell the Lord to eat the bread. He just realized that the flesh was hungry enough to perform the miracle. You be the Son of God, turn it into bread. Because if you turn it into bread, you'll eat it. Because you're hungry enough to do it. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. He just checked the devil in his tracks. He halted his plan. The devil had to step back. Because all he wanted him to do was to change the stones into bread. And if he's changed the stones into bread, the devil knew that he would eat them. That same thing he did with Eve in the garden. As soon as Eve tripped up, you eat it, then give him a piece. Oh my. The tricks of the devil. At the weakest point of God in the flesh, the devil had a perfect opportunity. But of course, naturally, the devil, he doesn't quit easy, does he? Then the devil taking him up into exceedingly taketh him up into the holy city, and sitteth him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands thou shalt bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written, Again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I believe at this particular junction of the temptation, the devil is pretty worried, but he's not finished. The Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted on all points, but yet without sin. That's not true for us. We can't make a claim to that. Even after the Holy Ghost, we cannot make a claim that we've been tempted at all points, that yet we have not fallen. But yet the grace of God continues to sustain a portion of our lives and to maintain us for an eternal situation. Am I right? God's grace. But here's Jesus. Because if Jesus was not secure in passing these tests, then we wouldn't have any grace. We wouldn't have had any grace if he had fell to one of these situations, because that would have rendered him powerless. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Oh my goodness. And then Jesus saith unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only shalt thou serve. That began the ministry of Jesus. And then, of course, he went forward and worked to fulfill the perfect will of God. Life is not easy, even in serving the Lord. Not easy. It's hard. But it's easier to serve God than to serve sin. The results are better. Am I right? The root I was listening to how Brother Camp today confirmed my message. How other things, how the song today confirmed what the Lord was trying to administer to us, talk to us about. This wasn't supposed to be fiery. Then we come to a place in John where Jesus realized the time that he had come for. I believe that we all have designated things that the Lord desires for us to fulfill in our lives. I believe that the Lord uses the trials that come in our lives to prepare us for those things. Praise God. I don't think we have to pray for anything extra to fulfill the will of God. Nor do I believe that we have to think that we need to do something more than what God would have us to do. But I know for sure that God wants the church to multiply. He wants the church to multiply. But he can only do it with people that have a passion. See, the root of power is a passion, not zeal. A passion. You notice Jesus had a passion. The disciples had a passion. God is attempting to develop within the church a heartbeat, a passion. That passion is the root of power itself. It's not our talents, it's not our zeal, it's not the things that we put in, the attitudes that we do, the things that we do for God, but it's the things that we do with God. Because you work with God because you have a passion for the things of God. A passion. You don't know how it's going to be done. I know I can't do it in my flesh. I know I can't do it in my thinking or in my mind. But God can do all things. God has all power. God is a great and a wonderful God. He will do it. He must do it. That's a passion. That passion moves the heartbeat and the hand of God. It moves God's hand. Moves it. It's not how elegant we speak. It's not how well educated we are. It's not even in our shout. Hey man, it's not even in our shout. Our shout symbolizes our freedom and our liberty in the Holy Ghost. And it doesn't empower God, it empowers us. It liberates us. But the passion and the heartbeat of God, when we connect to that, then God realizes that we understand what he understands. And we feel what he feels. And we have the insight to move his hand. Hallelujah. But the flesh can't do it. The flesh has to find its place in its way, because no flesh shall glory in God's sight. Passion. 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 Verily I say unto thee, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. I want to say something. On that very scripture is the scripture that the Lord called me upon. That very scripture. He mimicked that in my ears and in my spirit the very time that he called me. Verily I say unto thee, except the corn of wheat fall into a ground and die, it abideth alone. Now you think about a corn of wheat. Small corn of wheat. It has tremendous potential. But it only has potential if it falls in the ground and dies and breaks up. Other than that, it has no potential at all. It brings no nourishment or any nutrition to anyone. In fact, it has lost its position or function. Unless it does that. What's the problem with the church today? We don't want to die. That's our problem. We struggle with dealing with death before the throne of God. Not physical death. Spiritual death. We struggle with it. I was telling the brethren yesterday, and I was telling Brother Love one night, the importance of living a life of convictions. I don't see how anybody can put on a label of Christianity and have no convictions. This is supposed to be a life-changing experience. Hallelujah. Amen. Convictions. How can you be a Christian and claim to be a disciple but yet not be disciplined? How you do that? How do we claim to be a disciple, but yet we're unwilling to be disciplined? Because in that lack of discipline, in that lack of being, the lack of being disciplined and living a life of no convictions brings in all of this stuff. I'm telling you, it brings in all of this stuff that confuses the mind. It robs us of worship. It robs us of prayer. It robs us of relationship with God. But yet we want to be saved. This is why the Lord called, and this is why Paul called for the position of separation. Because if you do not separate, these things will take your mind from the things of God. It will. And first it works on the heart. How does it work on the heart? Because what happens is, the first thing is that we don't have a heart to worship. Amen. What I mean by heart for worship, where we can actually feel the presence of God in my spirit, where the power of God could come in here, and man, I mean, oh Jesus, hallelujah. Praise God. What it works on takes you out of worship, and what it does is it takes you out of worship, then eventually it works on the rest of what you are, because we believe, and God is trying to show us that he is a very jealous God. Now, some of us don't believe that God has a right to be jealous. Am I still in the message? Some do not believe that God has a right to be jealous. Why does God have a right to be jealous? Because every one of us are created beings. And none of us have created ourselves, nor made ourselves. But God himself, in all his glory, was always and will always be. He has no beginning or ending of days. He made us. We didn't make him. We didn't create God to this atmosphere of worship. God created us. Right? But not only did he create us, he also redeemed us. He saved us. That's important. That's important. And why did he redeem us? I believe that the Lord redeemed us for the simple position of worship. Relationship. To be around his throne. That makes sense. Now, we can be around his throne in the flesh, yet in the spirit. Am I right? Just like today, the Lord took over, brought forth his presence, poured it out. Amen. Now, how many of us can create this atmosphere in our home? You don't need a crowd. I can do it all by myself. But how many distractions do I have to stop me from worshiping God? How many distractions? Oh, I got my computer. I got this. I got that. I got that. Amen. How many distractions do we have? And it's not so many how many distractions do we have, but how many distractions do we have that control us? Hallelujah. That control us. We got to do it. We need to do it. Where God at times becomes secondary. When at times the Lord is trying to bring to us a very important message that we need to hear. How many of us feel as though that we have missed the voice of God from time to time because of our distractions? How many of us wish that we can go back and redeem the time? I'm not trying to read anybody's mail. I don't have to. I'm human. I live on the same earth you do. I'm worshiping the same God you worship. I go through the same struggles you go through. The only difference between me and you is I have the title of being a pastor. Amen. Don't get me wrong, I tried to be the example of what God called me to be. But because of that, I also realized the struggles and what God has called us to be. And I realized that we will not be able to accomplish the things of God if we're alive within ourselves. I got enough sense to realize that. I realized that when the Lord first called me. I'm still realizing that more and more each day. I'm really, you don't know how much the trials that the Lord has brought in my life to bring me to a place to understand what he's trying to do. Even though I still don't know, but the thing is, the most important thing, I keep yielding. You know why you yield in the presence of God? Because you don't want to die. I ain't talking about physical death. I'm talking about spiritual death. It's important to yield in the presence of God because I want to live in the presence of God because I want to share the position of eternity. So it's important for me to yield in the presence of God. But no, man, that's wrong. People think that's the wrong thing. That's just the pastor talking. Maybe it's a United Pentecostal church. I don't know. Well, you know what you feel. That makes sense? You know what you feel. Amen. If it's not God talking, then of course you have the opportunity to cut it off. But if it is God speaking to you, then you'd probably be wise to listen. Amen. I think we would be wise to listen. I believe that it's very important for the church today to capitalize on the heartbeat of God. But ye believe not because, oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong text. He that loveth his life shall lose it. Now listen to me. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what the Lord said? He that loveth his life shall lose it. Now, if anybody should understand that scripturally, it should be the church. Now, should we feel threatened by that? I think we should. I think we should be challenged by it. You know why we should? Because we claim to be Christians. Don't we claim to be Christians? We're not only we Christians, we apostolics. Hallelujah. Man, I've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You like my standard of holiness? Listen. Okay, that's all great. But what's inside here? That's where the change needs to be. In here. Al? No, I didn't think so. In fact, there needs to be a change in two places. The change in two places, it starts here and it develops here. And when it starts here and when it develops here, then you have power. Amen. Because then you're thinking and reacting with the mind of Christ. You're no longer just a religious icon, you know, that happened to be endowed with truth and holiness. But then you become the real McCoy. And when you attempt to become the real McCoy, you know who steps out? Satan. What you trying to do? And instead of you, if you really desire to be the real McCoy, instead of you stepping back, you should step up and say, I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. And I've come here, Satan, on behalf of my Father to take the rest of your kingdom. This is what the church should be doing. This is how the church should be thinking. Amen. But no, the flesh got us in our own position. We're thinking about promotion, retirement, house to build. Come on. You know what kind of car I would buy when I retire. Oh, you are. You know, this is what we're thinking. And now listen to me, y'all. The Lord is sweeping America. Houses are blowing down. Cars are blowing across the road. All the types of things that man thought that he would need to be satisfied in the flesh are gone with a sweep. You see, the Lord is trying to give the church a certain position of thinking. I'm not saying that houses or land are wrong. But I want something that the Lord, see, I want a house and a land that the Lord secures for me. Because then I know. And he, no, listen, you say in heaven, and that's good. But you know, the Lord can give you a house and land that's secured right here on earth. You know why? Because you gave your full service of life to him. But what he's trying to place in you is a passion. Because that passion will create power. That passion, that love for God will do something much greater than what you ever could do in the flesh. Amen. That's right. He needs to reach in here. Put it up here. As long as you got all these other things around you. You know, you got new computers and new cars and all the things that we like and enjoy. Praise God. We don't have time to concentrate on the things of God. But sometimes the Lord has to bring affliction to your body. He won't kill you. He's not going to kill me. I'm going to live a long time. By his grace, I will. Amen. By his grace, I will. Hey, but sometimes he has to allow that affliction to come upon you. Like this brother right here, he's dealing with an affliction. And it's bad. The Lord's going to heal you. Amen. The Lord's going to heal you. But when he heals you, you will be a different brother Camp. You will be a different brother Camp. He does it his way. He doesn't do it your way. Because if he did it your way, he had to pull out the microwave. And put your situation in the microwave and zip, there you go. Hallelujah. God, I want to get out of this situation now. No, in fact, I want to get out yesterday. Well, unfortunately, that's not the case. We serve a great God, y'all. His power does not diminish. He's still trying to reach us. He don't care where you are. If you yield to him, he'll come on in. But I'm telling you something, though. If he comes in, whatever you got to let him, you got to allow him to make the change. You got to build that wall of convictions. I'm not, you know, some people think you're talking about a stereotype or where, it, you know, where I'm not pulling out the laundry list. That's not what I'm doing. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with reading the laundry list. Sometimes you need to read it. Because sometimes some of the things in the laundry list apply to you. But you can't live by the laundry list. The laundry list will kill you. That's why you have to develop a passion in your heart that develops in your mind. Because once it develops in your mind, you won't have a problem. In fact, I don't even need a list. I don't need a list. God come to me and say, hey man, listen, let's go out to the club. I don't want to. Oh, you do it because you go to church. No, I don't want to do it. I have no desire to do it. Let's look at this movie. I don't want to. Why don't I don't have a desire? Why should I do something I have a desire not to do? The flesh doesn't even do that. The flesh only does what it desires to do. Am I right? Am I right? But it's amazing how God can build in your human makeup a desire to serve him, a desire to live for him, a passion where it seeks after the face of God and calls upon the name of Jesus, a yearning inside your spirit, inside your heart to see souls won, people won to the Lord, lives changed. It's amazing what God can do, how he can do it. But you know what he has to do in order to get that done? He has to get you to crucify the flesh. And unfortunately, the Lord has to give you the cross to crucify it on. Because you know why he has to give you the cross to crucify it on? Because you and yourself would not crucify it. So in life situations, here it comes. Y'all young people, it's going to come. Amen. You feel, how you feel? Feel good? Feel the fullness of your youth? Feel strong. I'll live forever. Praise God. When you get my age, you be saying, oh Lord, what in the world going on here? Something else done fell off. Let me pick that up, put that on. Hallelujah. If I put it on, I don't feel it. Why I don't feel it? Amen. Praise God. It's amazing. Amazing how life changes. Because your life will change. Your life will change. I remember when I was a young man. I was 17. I was playing basketball. And I was good at it. I was real good at it. I could dunk a basketball. I was good at it. I was a good point guard. And now if I ran from here to there, I'd probably fall out. Not really. I'm still a pretty good athlete. I really am. But that's not the point. The point is that it don't feel the same no more. Am I right, sister? It don't feel the same no more. But in my spirit, hallelujah, I'm as young as a 17-year-old buck. Because he's a good God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that youth inside will maintain what's on the outside. Because you'll seek after him. Remember, y'all, the root of power is a burden. But you know, the most important thing, as I said, is yielding to God. What the Lord's trying to do is, the Lord has prepared, is trying to energize the church. And in energizing the church, In order for you to have energy, you got to make an investment. We're not asking for money. Your time. There will be tremendous dividends. This is something that if I can get across to people in the church, just don't come to church and just be a part of the local assembly. Make an investment. You will be happy. I'm telling you, your life will be complete and you will be happy. And the devil cannot win a victory over you. But if you're in your own little cubbyhole and you do your own little thing and your own little time, then you know what? You just add a trap for Satan. So make an investment. And you will be blessed. Think about what I said. Be invested in the kingdom. I know that upsets somebody's plans. But you know what? You know how plans are in the flesh. They're not rewarding anyway. Am I right? They're not rewarding anyway. In fact, well, sometimes we put more stress and strain into trying to develop something in the flesh. And then once we get into it, everything goes wrong. Then we go through it because we developed it. And we're more stressed out about it than anything. Then we wonder, well, my goodness. Oh, yeah. Let's close in a word of prayer.